Welcome. Thank you to joining us here on the Balanced Mind podcast, where accounting meets emotional intelligence, hosted by me, Kim Searle, and Richard Bruin here of Progress. Good morning, Richard.
Morning, Kim. How are you?
Very good, thank you. We've already almost done a whole podcast just talking. It's so funny.
It's often
It is often the case.
the
So, we were talking about health. As many listeners know who've ever listened to previous ones, I have or have had chronic fatigue. I'm working through the other side, but it's not easy because one of the things that has brought it about was some conditions that the NHS, God love them, can't do anything about, either through funding or because it's never really been investigated. A bit like the common cold. They can't cure a common cold. They can't deal with viruses, and it's certainly with a lot of gut issues. And we started talking about those as well. And one of the things I was saying was that through my own condition, and I've been going backwards and forwards to doctors on and off, usually when it gets bad, over the last 20, 25 years over gut issues. And I genuinely believe and talking to others, think it's true, and there's science coming out about it, that our gut really affects our brain and the way we think and affects so many other things as well. And if we can't get to the root cause of what's going on, then it just springs off into other areas. And the explanation that I learnt when I was training to be who I am, hypnotherapist, coach, whatever, is that when you don't listen to your body, when you ignore it, try and do a plaster effect, what happens is if you don't address the real problem, it comes out somewhere else and you get another issue and another issue and another issue. And that's where I've been for the last few years, which is why I'm on this path of we need to deal with emotions, which interestingly sit or are generated as well from the gut. The gut holds a whole wealth of information. I very often talk about the three brains. And today I wanted to talk with you about the gut brain and the heart brain, because they're both consciousnesses that tell us when something's not right. So I've probably overdone the introduction, but this was the sort of thing that we were talking about. And you said that would be a really good topic to bring to the table, so to speak.
Yes, it goes back to the reason why we started doing these podcasts in the first place, and that was that, working with so many accountants, we spend so much time on systems and processes and teams and all the rest of it, and there really isn't a conversation going on about ourselves as human beings, and how our own performance impacts on the business and benefits the business. And we can fix systems and processes, and we can fix teams, and we can fix clients, and we can fix business performance. But if we can't fix who we are as a person, then everything else is so much harder. So that's why we started this. Let's have a conversation about things that maybe accountants don't talk about. And we've talked a lot about emotions, which isn't, a very unaccountant territory to go into.
Is.
And you mentioned when we were chatting earlier about this concept of the three brains, and of course, immediately I went, right, okay, this is different. What's and so let's have a we've talked on one of these previous podcasts about my challenges with prostate cancer this year. When I go around, obviously, with family, with friends, with all the accountants that we work with, and all the rest of it, health issues, you just the, I have no stats to back it up, but there's just a sense that health issues are on the increase. Now, I think that's partly due to the fact that we are getting better at diagnosing conditions and identifying them. But also, there's definitely something else going on. And we are used in business to talking about stress and anxiety now. They're part of the conversation, and rightly so. Mental health is part of the conversation, and rightly so. But actually, a lot of the things that they in themselves can be symptoms of things. We can have health issues that are caused by stress, for instance, but what's causing the stress? Yeah, it's those connections, isn't it? And we were talking earlier. We live in a mad world now, and a lot of it is out of our control. A lot of it is inside our control. And we've talked on previous podcasts about focusing on what you can control, which is a step. But when you started talking there about a link between essentially your gut and how you think, that piqued my interest.
Awesome. So yes. I'm going to be honest, I don't know it all now, but I know enough to know that there is a problem. When you are feeling unwell, one of the first things to go is your logical thinking. Because what happens is the body is trying to work in another area and needs all the energy it can have to focus on what's not working. And we can power through it with paracetamol, ibuprofen, or, for those people who are, taking any depression tablets, and it's not always for depression, I might just say, but they're diagnosed for a variety of reasons, anxiety being one of them. Whatever we do, we reach for something to sort it out. And of course, it might do it for a while, but it will happen that the gut will be like, I'm not happy with this, because it's not been able to process the way it wants, and the brain obviously is our conscious part, which is doing all the doing. It decides what we're going to do, or a decision is taken and the brain makes sure it happens. But there is evidence out there. There is scientific evidence now that the gut-brain connection really does impact the way we perform, we show up. And as I say, I don't know it all, but basically what happens is that, there's a communication channel between the gut, the heart, and the cognitive brain, and it's the vagus nerve. And that information is traveling a bit like a motorway, up and down, passing through. But if some of the data coming through is coming, some of the packets are lost, you're not going to get it at all. So the conscious mind has to start to fill in the gaps, which it does all the time, by the way. But it becomes worse if you've got a gut problem. If you've got a heart problem, suddenly there's a something else going on that causes a problem as well, and the brain is now fighting on two different levels. So for people with high blood pressure, stress related, but could be stress from the gut because the gut's not well. Hello. The blood pressure has to work harder to get the oxygen around the body. So we are interfering with the natural processes of the body, the natural order of things. And I think the gut, and as I say, it's worth looking up, but the gut has a consciousness, and a consciousness as in it knows what it's got to do. I don't mean it thinks, not that way, but it knows what it's got to do. And when things get in the way, it has a problem. So let me explain it a little bit more. I was diagnosed with glandular fever in 2018, which became chronic fatigue because the doctors didn't know what to do with it. It's viral, so no, we can't do anything with it. So it was basically go home and rest. Well, 6 months and I didn't get any better. The thing is, it didn't start with glandular fever. Glandular fever came because of something else. And this is what I like to do, is like to get a problem and look back. What happened just before? What was going on before that? What caused it? And actually, there's a whole collection of different things. I don't know which one did it, but it's useful to understand it's not one thing. And what I came up with just before we started this, which piqued your interest, was this idea that the brain, and I'm talking not just the prefrontal cortex where you do all your thinking, I'm talking about the whole brain that's not, we don't even know what it does, the vagus nerve, the nervous system, it's all part of the brain, has two primary objectives that we know of. I'm sure it has more. The first one is to keep you alive. And it doesn't matter whether you can pay your mortgage or not. It doesn't matter whether you can service your client or not. It's going to do what it needs to do to keep you alive. And the other thing that is primary is to keep you connected. Very often, people who have got stress and anxiety will start to close down, keep themselves back from occasions when, perhaps they're going to have too many people to deal with. They start to disconnect, if you like. And of course, this is affecting us Yes, probably in your 20s and 30s, not very much. But as time goes on, it can get worse unless you find out what the cause is. And the reasons for feeling unsafe could be lack of confidence, not being able to speak up, not being able to be yourself in all situations. We've talked in previous podcasts where people are going in and feel that they have to be an accountant, whatever an accountant is in their mind's eye. So they have to act like it because for some reason they don't believe in it themselves. Self-esteem issues, maybe. There's procrastination, there's perfectionism, there's self-doubters and imposter syndrome. There's all these things that we are carrying around with us that doesn't make us feel safe. Comparing yourselves, judging, all these different things. Now, it doesn't mean to say we're scared and in a hole, but I want people to know that unless they deal with it, things do get worse. Unless they can get to the root cause, things will get worse, and they can do this for themselves. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I mean, I was thinking then as you were talking that I guess traditionally the way that we've dealt with it is, in most cases, is simply to allow ourselves to get older. As we
Oh,
get older, we
give
get a
in.
different, but we get a different perspective on life, don't we? And we worry about less things, and our priorities change and what have you. So I guess through life experience, we learn how to drop some of these things off the anxiety register, if you like. But we are recognizing, in business terms, if you are going to be a success, then it's not just about hard work. I'm not saying hard work isn't part of it, but it's not just about just slogging away each day. It's about how well you direct your mind, your thinking, and how well you manage your emotions. If there's a triangle, then let's do hard work, intellect, and emotions. I think it's that sort of thing, really. And what we're saying here is that this is another way that we can actually help to influence those other two, the non-hard work bit. I was thinking that then that, for many years now, we've talked to clients about the need to have a holiday, for instance, because th their business will benefit because they will benefit from having a holiday. So that's a non-business thing, but you can use it to for your business to perform better. We've moved on to a conversation about fitness, about being aware of your health and fitness. If you're healthy, if you are doing exercise, then that helps your body, helps your brain, and that helps your business. So we've moved on to things that are very which historically weren't in the business checklist, but nowadays are. Make sure you get a holiday. Make sure that you're healthy. Make sure that you've got time away from the business to free your mind up. And make sure you've got a good work-life balance. That was the phrase that came in, I don't know, 40, 50 years ago now.
Yes.
But this is taking the conversation even further, isn't it now? This is saying, okay, well, have you thought about how your business is being impacted by what you eat? And when you eat, and those sort of questions. And that's an interesting one because it's in a sense what we're doing here is saying, look, there's more you can do. We talked right at the outset about focusing on what you can control. Well, there's more you can, if we can benefit ourselves individually and therefore our businesses by being much more aware of how our gut is responding to what's around us, rather than just because we tolerate it, don't we? We take powders and medicines and digestive stuff and all the rest of it because we're not feeling great, but we just take something to sort of essentially just suppress it because we've got work to do. When in fact it's potentially the other way around. What we're doing here is almost introducing something else that potentially we can control. Something that we, we when it comes to our how when it comes to our gut, I mean, we're recognizing now that we can, if we work at it, we can put ourselves in a, let's say, a better frame of mind. We're more aware of our mental health than we're. If we work at our health, our fitness, we can put ourselves in a better, we can be fitter, we can be healthier, and that helps our business performance. We're now bringing the gut into the equation and going, okay, so if we listen more to our gut, if at the moment we tend to see it as a barrier, we don't feel well, therefore we take medicines and tablets and powders and whatever you to get us through the day. That's the phrase that we use, isn't it? But we're actually going, well, hang on, let's flip it around. Is getting through the day what is causing or what is issuing that those gut issues? So maybe can we, in the same way that we're aware of our mental health, our bodily health, if you like, let's put some more focus on the gut, on the heart, because from what you're saying is they are influencing how we think and how we behave.
Yes, they are.
So we can't ignore them. We can't just treat them as a barrier to having a good day.
And I'll be honest, I mean, a lot of this is coming around because I continue to learn and investigate, yes, from my own experiences, but from others as well, just talking to them. But it's interesting because awareness is the thing that we have and we do nothing with, or we ignore it. So how often, I wonder, have our listeners eaten something that they know they shouldn't have? So, or too much of alcohol, let's say, in the 30s, you suddenly realize you're not recovering so much. And some people will stop immediately, others will not. They'll continue on. And equally, for people out there, and it's increasing in its effect, is wind, trapped gas in the gut and whatever, caused by something. For a lot of people, gluten. Gluten is a real problem that's going on that they've introduced into the whole cycle of making bread to help make it stay soft and make it sure that it's, all holds together for longer. There are things happening, and you mentioned our food chain. I don't want to get too political on this because I don't know enough about it, but there are programs out there saying, what on earth are we doing with what we're eating? And with processed food, they're trying to worry about your taste, not your nutrition. And that's where our awareness needs to end up. What is it we're taking in that's causing us a problem? And being aware of that, you don't have to do anything straight away. Just become aware that if you have a high carb lunch break, you're going to be sleepy at 2. Is that impacting your business? Yeah, you could bet your bottom dollar it is. When I was doing training and working with a trainer, they used to call it the graveyard shift. People come back, they weren't really on the ball. You needed something to get them up and going because they'd had carbs at lunch in one way or another, and it was just sending them to sleep. Okay, so we're not allowing the body time to process those, or we're not aware of how carbs are hitting us. And when I talk carbs, I'm not just talking bread, by the way. There are a lot of carbs out there that we have. If you stop at a railway or a motorway station anywhere, what's the foods on offer? Sandwiches, sausage rolls, pies, all carbs. So it's no wonder we all have a little sleep in the afternoon. So we are aware, but we're not doing anything about it. Oh, yeah. I need a snap.
It's good, isn't it? Because it is about raising that awareness. I mean, don't get me wrong. Our little motorway service stop. It's the excuse to go and have something that I shouldn't
Oh,
have.
do not get me
But
wrong. I'm not preaching, or maybe it sounds like I am, but
oh.
what I'm preaching about is the awareness, because boy, I'm human. Do love a bar of chocolate, do love certain sandwiches, although I'm not, it really does have a problem for me now, so got to be careful.
But you do, it is that awareness. I mean, you mentioned it there about the typical lull early afternoon. We all know it exists, but do we do anything to address it? As you're talking there, I was thinking, okay, so in a lot of businesses and offices, they will bring in food for occasions, birthdays, celebrations, pizza Friday, whatever it may be. But if you think typically that food is pizza, cake, chocolates, sweets. It's don't get me wrong, they are top of my favorite list, all of
Oh,
them.
absolutely.
But are we doing the right thing? Because that is that if we're going, look, okay, let's stop at 4 o'clock and let's all have cake and then everyone can go home, that's fine. But if you're thinking, let's all have cake at lunchtime, but we've got a really busy afternoon, maybe we've not thought that through fully. It's It's just about in the same way that we need to think more about what's going on in our heads, how we're managing our emotions. We do need to be thinking about the what impact are we having on our performance by what we eat and what we drink
And the effects it
and
has on
when
us,
we have it.
when we do it, absolutely. So I think, it's just one example, shall we say, of the gut telling us or the body telling us, no, I need time to process this. So it removes all your energy from all the other areas to do what it needs to do. So you have no choice in the matter. You can power through it. There'll be a problem.
I have a bit of a theory that you know, I think as human beings, we've changed. We've certainly changed what we eat, but I think we've changed when we eat as well. If you look at traditionally, we would the first thing you would do when you got up in the morning would be to have a good breakfast. Lunch wouldn't necessarily be a particularly big meal, but I'm a Midlander, so I'll call it tea. Tea would be at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock when Dad got home from work. But people now don't follow. Either we snack much more during the day, which is one thing, because there's more snack around as well. But also we tend to eat later. A lot of people will either skip breakfast or it's a different sort of breakfast. It's a nutritional breakfast or whatever it may be. But I think we've changed because our work pattern has changed. I think, and the demands on our time have changed. They're greater, and it's changing when we're sort of putting nutrients and energy into our body, and maybe our bodies are slow to react to that change. Maybe that's something that we're still going
Very
through.
much so. Very slow. The body hasn't caught up and isn't running at the 21st century. It's still running, probably, BC. Is it still BC? I don't know. Oh, I don't, before whatever,
A long
2000,
time
long
ago.
time ago. Yeah. So the body doesn't, it's really slow to evolve. So, yes, you're absolutely right. So it's interesting, isn't it, that we know this. And you're right. I think, when we eat, what we eat, and how we feel when we eat. Because if you're in a hurry, you scoff it down, don't you? You don't enjoy it, don't savor it. And you might end up with indigestion. Or you might be eating when you're stressed and worried about something. The body can't deal with two things at once. So it sort of sits in the gut and feels, you could end up feeling sick and all the rest of it. And then obviously, you eat sometimes on the run from, like I said, service stations. You don't always know what's going on. I came back from Accountex this year, and I knew I was going to need a day to recover because I generally do, but I was stronger then, and ended up with food poisoning. For goodness sake, I ended up buying a prawn sandwich at Reading Station, sick as a dog for a good 3 or 4 days after that. It's just like, oh, can't win, can you? So it's understanding, we are in control of all that. You quite rightly said it. And I think for accountants, what would be, what is a first good step? And it's not just accountants. We'll have people who are professionals listening, and others who just like what we have to say. What's a good starting point for you? Because if it's affecting our thinking and our performance, it's something to start looking at, I think.
Yeah, it is. I think there's two things that I would do. One is introduce it into the conversation, to get the team to be more open on these subjects, to talk about what we eat and what we don't eat and when we eat, particularly in a work context. Some people will eat very healthily, others won't. I'm not saying that it's automatically that black and white. It's that's easy, that's right, and that's wrong, because like I say, I mentally sometimes I can feel great after a pie and chips. That's what I needed. I needed that pickle, So it's not as simple as counting the calories or counting the fat level and what one's good and one's bad. It's about what food makes us work more effectively, think better, feel better about ourselves, feel more confident, doesn't it? And so that's part of it. The other thing I think is to be a little bit more strategic about it. One thing I've noticed is that, I mean, I do a lot of team days with firms, for instance, where I'm running the whole day, There's a lot of activities and engagements from the team, and I realized a few months back now that when I do those, I'm very careful to build the breaks in. There will be four or five breaks deliberately broken during the day, because I've learned over time that people start to lose energy, lose focus if they've been doing one thing for too long. And then I thought, well, hang on, we don't do that in the office. In the office, when I first started work, there used to be set breaks almost, because you'd get in first thing in the morning. It wasn't particularly a habit then to make a coffee first thing in the morning. You'd had your breakfast, so you came in and got down to work. There'd be a tea lady, Flo bless her, who would come round with a trolley mid-morning and mid-afternoon, and that's when everybody had their cup of tea, their cup of coffee. And apart from nipping out to the shops at lunchtime to get yourself some cobs, that was it. That was the day. Now that doesn't tend, so the day was broken up. There were distinct periods of work and refresh. Now it's not like that. It's much more haphazard. People make teas, coffees whenever they want. You'll see people eating at their desk. You won't see any, there's no one says, right, we're going to work for an hour and a quarter full on, and then we're going to have a 10-minute breather. That doesn't happen. And yet when we run these courses, we deliberately do that because we know that it impacts later in the day if we don't. So maybe we should be doing that in the normal working day to go, right, everyone's going to, nine till half 10, full on. Half 10, let's go for a toilet break, let's have a coffee, let's everyone step away for 10 minutes, and then let's get back into it again. I don't know. It's something that we go to work and we just expect people to plow through the day. And maybe we're missing a trick here. Maybe by breaking the day up a bit, we get, like you said, between 2:30 past 2, quarter to three, most people are struggling performance-wise. So why do we just accept that? Why don't we do things? Can we do it differently by doing lunch at a different time, or by encouraging people to have different sorts of lunch, or by doing different activities in that slot? One thing I always say is that if I'm, generally, if I'm doing recordings like this, or I'm doing face-to-face meetings, that's what I'll do in the afternoon, because in the morning I do my content stuff, the stuff that I've really got to sit down and concentrate on,
Oh my
because
goodness.
I know that I'm better in the morning at that. I get bored quicker in the afternoon. Now, one thing that stops me getting bored is talking to other people. So great, let's have my conversations in the afternoon. So I think this, we need to be thinking much more about how our days are as our peaks and troughs, aren't they? And they are. They're influenced by what's going on inside our bodies, and that is definitely driven by the gut and what we're putting into the gut. So we can be smarter, can't we, in managing that?
I do believe so. And I know I've introduced a couple of concepts that may well be a bit out there, but as I develop them, I will bring them forward a bit more. But the gut is so important. And I say as a brain, but it's a consciousness because it has its own job to do. It knows what it needs to do. You don't have to think about it. It just quietly gets on with it until it doesn't. And so I love what you're saying. I think that's really important. And I think one of my principles is it all starts with us. So for the listeners, it's down to you to speak up because unless we speak up, this doesn't happen. It doesn't become the norm. When you're in a training session, you're absolutely right. The trainer can instigate this. But if you're not getting that in your working environment, then it's down to you to do something and become aware of what you need and see whether you can negotiate something. Because as long as the work gets done, does it matter when? Possibly not. I'm not talking about time here, but during a day sort of thing, whether you're doing it
No, and
in the
I mean,
afternoon.
that in itself is a great topic about, when we do our work, we're still very old-fashioned in this. This has got to be done now, and it's got to be done between 9 and 5, and all this sort of stuff. And yet, when if you think about our school days were very regimented. Now, there's a lot I didn't like about that, but the fact is, you started time. You had a let's say you had an hour, then you had a break, then you had an hour, then you had dinner, then you had an hour, then you had another break, and then you yeah, and it was. Our bodies grows up with that. Between 4 and 16 or whatever it may be, that's what our body's done. Then we go to work. It's like, no, we don't do that now. You sit at your desk between 9 and 5, and you can have a coffee when you like, and if you want to have a chocolate bar, have a chocolate bar. It's like, It's an area where maybe we need to think about a bit more structure and a bit more direction. I think that's the thing. I think we've been very successful, particularly in recent years, and definitely I see it with the podcasts that we're doing and the responses we get to those. People are much more aware about their emotions, much more aware about their mental health at work, and much more aware that they can do something about that. So we're sticking something else on the table here now, aren't we? Saying essentially, be aware of what you're putting in your body, be aware of your gut. Be aware of what you put in, when you put it in, and how that is influencing your performance.
Exactly. I agree completely. I was just about to introduce a new topic, but I'm not going to. It clearly needs another episode at some point, but it's really crucial. And you don't have to do anything, just be aware of it. You'll find your own solutions to it. So, a brilliant topic, great suggestion to bring that to the table today, Richard. Thank you so much, and look forward to you talking to you in the next episode, where I think we've talked about just looking generally at where we get trapped by our own thinking, which sort of underlies this a little.
Yeah, very much.
Lovely. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.